So we are in the book of Philippians, and this is our year of manifested faith. The Lord told us at the beginning of this year, really New Year's Eve, that the things we have been believing for privately that God was going to make visible publicly, he said joy was to be our strength and increase was going to be our portion, and that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, remember this part, this is the key part, he says stay in faith and boldly declare. So you can't just say, I believe God without being in faith. So he says, stay in faith and boldly declare, I believe God. Everybody say, I believe God. And so I wanted to teach on joy, and I said, what better way to teach on joy than to teach from the book of Philippians, which is so funny because the main theme of the book of Philippians is joy in Christ, but the Apostle Paul is actually teaching sending this letter, writing this letter while he is falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned in a prison in Rome. And so the whole theme of this book is joy in Christ. Paul is writing them to thank them for their financial support, to encourage unity in the church because there were some people going back and forth, to encourage joy in difficult situations. And so last week, if you remember, we learned in chapter 1 that Paul taught us that we could have joy no matter what, right? And that was what we talked about last week, joy no matter what. He was in prison and still had joy. He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And so even in his situation, he showed us that joy was possible. Everyone say joy is possible. Now this week in chapter 2, Paul moves to another truth about joy, and hopefully you've already read it, so you know where we're going, and if not, that's okay, because we got everything ready for you. But Paul teaches us in chapter 2 that joy grows when our life stops revolving around us. So today's title or today's topic, last week was joy no matter what. Today is joy beyond ourselves. Joy beyond ourselves, all right? Everybody say, it's not about me, it's not about me. All right, so the fastest way to lose your joy is to make life all about you. The fastest way to increase your joy is learn to live your life, watch this, beyond yourself, not just for you, because you've always heard me say that you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And that is exactly what God has called us to do. He has called us to be the light of the world. He has called us to be the salt of the earth. He has calls us to be a city that sits on a hill that points people to Jesus. And so one of the fastest ways to lose joy is just to make it all about me, but one of the fastest ways to increase joy is to live a life beyond ourselves. Amen. Philippians, the second chapter, we're going to kind of read throughout the book of Philippians chapter 2 today. Let's start at verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 5 as an opening. It says, let nothing be done through strife. Everybody say strife. It says, or vainglory. Now say vainglory. He says, but in lowliness of mind, talking about humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So he's not saying don't take care of yourself, because you notice he used the word also. He says, so don't just be worried about you, but also be worried about your brothers and your sisters, all right? In verse 5, Paul really breaks it down because he's giving us what we need to do. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, so you have to have the mind of Christ, and you have to have the mindset of Christ. And so that is what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. Okay, big question in the room. I think this is an open book test. How many points do you think I have? You already know Pastor's got 3 simple points. That's going to take us to the next level today. Are y'all ready to jump in? Is anybody happy besides me? I mean, he did wake us up this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. What I want to do? Let's go to point number 1. Everybody say number 1. Number 1, catch this, self-centered living steals joy. Self-centered living steals joy. Philippians 2 and 3, we just read it a minute ago, so I'm only going to give you the first sentence. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, all right? And so, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm a teacher of the Word of God. Lady LaConte and I, we have a teaching ministry. And so it's funny sometimes people say, well, when is Bible study? I say, well, every time we come to church, we're going to have Bible study, right? Because we're having Bible study right now. Now, I understand in the, you know, what's the right way? Traditional set, you got it. You know, nothing wrong with that. But my whole thing is, I don't want to say, well, Bible studies are on Tuesday, so what are we doing on Sunday? No, we always study the Word of God, and we always learn the Word of God, and we always point people to Jesus, because church, can I just help y'all real quick? Church is not a place I might step on somebody's toes, but let me just help you. Church is a place you come for your spiritual development to learn God's plan for your life. Right? I've talked to people before, boo, we had a good time in church. I said, well, what did the preacher preach? I don't know what he preached, but boy, we had a good time. See, that is the, it's okay to have a good time. It's okay to pick them up and put them down. It's okay to clap your hands. Worship was amazing. Would you not agree? But you can never discount the Word of God, that when I come, that the Word is life. Jesus says, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. So really, you got to see church, you got it, as a place where you come and learn God's plan for your life. And you have to see yourself as the student of the Word of God, learning God's Word so faith is increasing your life. Does that make sense? So let's study the Word for a few minutes, all right? He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The word strife means selfish ambition, all right? Selfish ambition, we know what that means. And then the word vainglory really goes to the word, translates the word pride, all right? Now before, let me talk about pride. Pride in its bad sense, because there's a good pride and there's a bad pride. So pride in its bad sense means self-exaltation. So he says, don't let anything be done with strife, self-ambition, all about you. How can I climb the ladder and knock everybody down, right? He says, or don't let it be done in pride, which is self-exaltation. I'm going to exalt myself, all right? Now, before I keep going, because you said, wait a minute, Pastor, there's good pride and bad pride. I've never heard of that. Oh, yeah, there's good pride and bad pride. Bad pride is self-exaltation. Good pride is healthy confidence. There's nothing wrong. You know, can I be honest with you? When I woke up, one of the first things I did was my hygiene. I washed my face. I brushed my teeth. It's a sense of pride. Does that make sense? That I'm going to get myself together. You got it. I know I have a sweatshirt on today, you know, and Pastor don't wear a lot. I actually didn't just throw this on. I got me a brand new, I love my church, and I haven't worn it yet. And I figure, you know, it's going to get hot real soon. This might be one of the last days to wear it before it gets hot, right? So good pride is really healthy confidence. Because the Bible says that it is okay for us to think high of ourselves. He says, just don't think more high than you ought to. So it's okay for you to get dressed and look in the mirror and say, oh yeah, I like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You got it. So make sure that we don't let the devil steal something that shouldn't be taken away. You know, but bad pride is self-exaltation. And really in Philippians 2, he's really talking about attitudes of the heart. Everybody say attitudes of the heart. You know, because the truth be told is it can't always be about me. Can I get a... The more we make life about us, the more frustrated we become, all right? Because life will never go exactly the way we plan it. Pastor, I wish you would be positive. I'm positive life is never going to go exactly the way that we plan it. That is why we live by faith. Romans 1 and 17 says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 John 5 and 4 says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So I win by faith. So I live by faith and I win by faith. Hebrews 10 and 35 says, hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And so you see, I've got to take this word, apply it in my life, and not let go even in pressure situations. I've got to hold on to this word. Can I be honest with you? I've got to hold on to it tight every day. But if I'm going through a tough time, I might need to hold on to it a little bit tighter. You got it? Because the enemy tries to steal the seed of the Word of God. And so I've got to understand that, yes, things will happen in life, but the more we make life about us, the more frustrated we become. Humility frees us from constantly protecting our ego and making bad decisions in life. All right? Because we all have some sense of ego. It's kind of like pride. You're going to have some sense, but just don't let it get bad. Just don't let it get off. So because if you don't and you get caught up in pride, then your ego goes through the roof and then you start making bad decisions in life. Because now you think it's about you. You understand? Now you think you're better than somebody else. Now you think, and that is never the plan of God, and that is not what Jesus demonstrated to us. All right? Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. It says, all right, I'm going to need your help with the 1, 2, 3, the fourth word, okay, class? It said, pride goes before, good class, and a haughty spirit before what? So pride, self-exaltation, goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, which is an arrogant attitude, goes before the fall. And so that is why the writer teaches us that you can't have this self-ambition and this self-exaltation. And Paul's saying, you know, you've got to learn how to humble yourself like Jesus humbled himself. That's exactly what chapter 2 is all about. Because there's a pattern anytime you get caught up in pride. And let me explain it to you. When you get caught up in pride, you know, you move from walking in pride to making poor decisions. And then when you make poor decisions, there are going to be consequences for the decisions you made, right? You know, and then after those bad consequences, watch this, then destruction shows up in our lives. Destruction doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to die. Destruction could mean financial failure because I've made a mess of my money. You understand? Because I wouldn't listen to anybody or just those kinds of things. So destruction doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die, but some things are going to get bad and not work out because you operated in a spirit of pride instead of a spirit of humility. Does that make sense? Let's talk a little bit about signs that show that we're prideful. And these are the signs that we want to stay away from. And this is why Pastor is teaching it to you. So signs that you're in pride, not your, but, you know, anybody is in pride. The first one is when you stop listening to wise counsel. When you stop listening to wise counsel. And you've got to understand that the Bible says that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. There's something safe about making sure that you get the counsel you need, whether it's from a pastor, you got it, whether it's from a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, whether it's from a parent who's spiritual, you got it. There's so many, you know the older, you know how it is, like when you're young in your teenage years, all of us dealt with it, you got it. I'm sure all of us dealt with it. You know, we probably had attitudes along the way. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and we couldn't wait to get out of the house. And then when we got out the house, we realized things come with being out the house, like bills and responsibilities and those kind of things, you know. And so what happens is to my young adults, even though you may be grown, you if you got mom and daddy who are saved and love the Lord, it's probably a good idea to still listen to them because they've been down the road you're trying to go. And if you listen to their wise counsel, they can help you eliminate maybe some mistakes that they made. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you have to listen to wise counsel. I remember I was talking to a guy years ago. Everybody say years ago. And he was really in a tight situation. He had really made a lot of bad decisions and have put him in a really bad place. But, you know, that's why I love God, because he's rich in mercy. He's the God of another chance. God will help you. And I told him, I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you, okay? I know it doesn't look good, but you can get out of this, all right? But I said, here's the most important thing. You know, besides listening to God, you won't have to listen to me. There's some things that I'm going to tell you. You're going to need to do this. You're going to need to do this. Now, if you will do what pastor tells you to do, you got it, you're going to end up in the good place. But if you don't, and this might sound mean, I told him, you have just wasted my time. Because I'm spending several hours trying to help him. Does that make sense? And so, but a sign that you're prideful is when you stop listening to wise counsel, all right? The second sign that you're prideful is when you stop examining your heart. Never stop examining your heart. Always check your heart, all right? Always allow the Holy Spirit to check you or correct you or talk to you. Every day we should be talking with the Holy Spirit. You should cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he is leading you, he is guiding you, he is comforting you, he is strengthening you. Watch this. But he also has the same right in your life, not only to comfort and strengthen you, but correct you when you need correction. Right? And so that is how I examine my heart. You know, I go to God and I examine my heart. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in worship. I look at the word of God, you know, and that is my mirror, as the case may be. In Church of God in Christ, when we all went home when I was a little boy, we would close out saying stuff like, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And it was a good way to close, but that's just not a benediction. You understand? That is something that we live by. The writer says, let the words of my mouth, the things I say, and the meditations of my heart, the inner thoughts, he says, let them line up with your word and who you are, oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Does that make sense? So you stop examining your heart. The next thing that shows a sign that I could be prideful is if I won't ask for or offer forgiveness. If I won't ask for and offer forgiveness. Now, you got to understand, it's real important that if you are wrong, you got it, and you've done someone wrong, that you go to them and you ask them for forgiveness, because the Bible teaches us to do that. Does that make sense? You know, it would be wrong. Lady LeConte, she would tell you, we've been married 28 years, and you know, by no means do we think we just got it all together. You got it, but we work on our marriage not some of the time, but all of the time. I still make my confessions every day that I shine on her like the sun shines on the earth. I will watch my tone when speaking to her. And later tell you, oh, Pastor, don't ever yell at me. You know why I don't ever yell at her? It's because I've made up my mind that I'm going to watch my tone. Because we all have a carnal nature about us that when we get upset, what happens? Our voice rises. Am I right about it? Yeah, but it doesn't mean we never have disagreements. Doesn't mean things don't happen. Something happened this morning. Can I tell them what happened this morning? Go ahead, tell me what happened this morning. And so what happened? And Ben, bring my phone. All right, y'all want to know what happened at the house? Yeah. Now I was gonna say any nosy people. I ain't gonna say that, right? but what happened was, I always get up earlier than Lady. We don't know what happened, but some kind of way, she had an alarm that went off at 0:30. And it wasn't just a regular, you know how some alarm, do, 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 do. It was like, rah, rah, you know, I'm jumping up trying to get my gun. You understand? What is going on? This is the Mayday, you know, it's not right. And then I'm like, babe, wait, you know what? Not only do you have an alarm going off, but it's, you know, Hannah, you know, she's on the other side of the house, and I'm sure it woke her up. Right? But I said, okay, just take a deep breath, you know, and that kind of thing. And so I went to another area of the house to do, you know, what I, what? That's what I said. I said, we had our little conversation. I didn't fuss at you. Oh, I thought you were trying to say I fussed at you. No. Yeah, no. So I was giving her instructions on how you know, I mean, I was nice, Doc. I was nice. But I was just explaining, babe, over here, you know, when there's a volume for the actual alarm. And you have to check that at night, because if you don't in the morning, it'll scare everybody. Yeah. So I was giving a little class, praise the Lord. But did we fuss or argue? Oh, no. Okay, baby, you got to get it straight, because, you know, people would think that we done went at it, and now we up here, you know, fall down and worship him, you know. So anyways, she's right. And she's right. And like a good wife, you got it. She knew that I was just startled. So she didn't say anything. She let me give her a little instruction. She said, okay, no problem. And, you know, and kind of went on. Right. And so then I went to, I don't want to get into too much. She has her own dressing room, and she got it really nice. And so I have another closet. It's something I did for her, and just, you know, it doesn't matter. And so anyways, I'm going to my closet to get, I come back to see her. And she says, are you okay? I said, oh, yeah, I'm okay. She said, okay, because you were a little grumpy earlier. I said, now, babe. I said, give me a little credit. I mean, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I'm the one that sets alarms in the morning. Anyways, and so we laughed about it. There was zero tension. You got it. It was more fun than anything. For her just to say I was grumpy was funny, because I'm, in the morning especially, never grumpy. I'm like the happy guy. You got it. Now, she's not grumpy, but if anybody was going to be grumpy, you know, but she's not. You got it. She's not. I'm just saying, if there was between, yeah. No, I just know my wife. And my wife, when she wakes up, I need to give her a little time. There's nothing wrong with that. I can wake up and she be like, hey, babe. I'm like, hey, what's going on, girl? You know, but I can't just jump over her face. Well, hey, what's up, girl? No, she need a minute. And it's okay to need a minute. I'm giving somebody a marriage lesson in here. And so, you know, and so I went a little bit later, you know, I was doing something. Pastor friend of mine said, hey, man, I need you to check this. You know, I said, check it. He said, it's on Instagram. I said, man, I ain't been on Instagram in 6 weeks. I took it off my phone because just for focus purposes, a lot of times I don't keep everything on. I keep an eye on Facebook because, you know, the Without Limits page, I want to make sure all those posts are the way I want them and that kind of thing. And so I saw this and I sent it to her real good. And do you guys know who Carlton is from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Y'all know them funny dances he be doing? So it was a reel of him dancing, saying, when you're an average guy, but somehow managed to land an absolute bombshell of a wife. I said, that's my wife right there. Y'all supposed to clap. They clapped at the 9 o'clock, baby. They clapped at the 9. Anyway, so Paul is teaching us, you got it. I have not forgot where I'm going. Ask for forgiveness, offer forgiveness. And lady will tell you that if I ever needed to say, I'm sorry, pastor going to do it that quick and going down the road. Why? Because we got too much going on in our lives for us to be caught up in strife and disagreement and that kind of thing. We have made a commitment that even if we can't agree on something, we will agree to disagree. We'll table that thing and we'll come back to it later. If we was going to lunch, we still going to lunch. If we were going to dinner, we still going to go to dinner. Every night, going to be an amazing night. You got it? You understand? Some of y'all catch that later. But what happens is if you're not careful, watch this, you will let your heart mess you up. You got it? I ain't talking to him. I ain't talking to her. Make me sick. And not realizing that you got to examine your heart. You got, if you need to take a break, I don't know why the Holy Spirit got me going this way, but evidently I need to. If you need to take a break, take a break. If you need to walk outside for a few minutes, walk outside for a few minutes. You know, just do whatever it is that you got to do. I remember in the early days, you know, that's what I would do. I would just get in the car and I wouldn't go nowhere. I'd just drive around the neighborhood. Come on back. But I had to develop because ladies said, well, I don't like when you leave and drive around the neighborhood. I said, okay, no problem. I thought I was doing good, you know, so I just walk outside, you know. And she's like, well, you got to walk outside too. I said, okay, no problem, you know. But she helped me because now they're very few and far between. I mean, honestly, but if we do have a disagreement, we literally can say, let's leave that alone, stay right there with each other in the same conversation and move on to something else. Why? Because we have learned to develop our hearts. Does that make sense? And so I can ask for forgiveness. I can offer forgiveness. Why? Because I'm not caught up in pride, but I'm caught up in humility. Does that make sense? James, the fourth one. Well, no, let's go to James 4 and 6 because I'm running out of time. James 4 and 6 says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So y'all know what that word resist. He resists the proud. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All right? So you have to learn to develop a grateful heart. Stop looking at what you don't have, but thank God for what you do have. That I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Does that make sense? All right, I have a take-home statement for every point. Hopefully I'll get to all of them today, but I'm going to just at least give you this first take-home statement. The first take-home statement for point number one, I believe it's in your app. Pride divides people, but humility unites them. Pride divides people, but humility unites them. All right, with a strong voice, everybody say number two. Number two, Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. So let's pick it up at verse 5, all right? Paul says of chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, watch what he did, class. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, how many know that's powerful? So Paul begins to describe the humility that Christ walked in because, because Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be equal to God, because we know the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus wasn't doing anything wrong, but he understood that the Father had a plan to redeem man back to him. So Jesus had to say, not my will, but thy will be done. So what does Paul describe in this text? He describes, number one, that he existed in the form of God, yet he did not cling to his rights. Let me help you. There are sometimes you have a right to do something that maybe you ought not do. Paul says that all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. That's why we got to just be careful. Well, the Bible didn't say you can't get into hell if you're not. You need to be careful with that. There are some things that might be okay for somebody to do, but maybe it's something that you don't need to do. Praise the Lord. Next thing he did was he took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself, all right? And then he became obedient to the death of the cross. This is one of the most powerful descriptions of the humility of Christ in Scripture. And in Scripture, we see Jesus at all times being humble, but this is one of the most powerful ones because he didn't, watch this, he didn't have to do it, but I'm so glad he did. Does that make sense? All right. So Mark 10 and 45 is going to teach us because the King of Heaven chose the position of a servant over any other position. Mark 10 and 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is why I really believe that everyone should join the dream team. I really do. I believe that what's the dream team? It's our army of volunteers that serves in ministry. Because if Jesus' main expression was to serve, then how many know ours should be too? I really believe that. Now, if there's something wrong where you're not physically capable, I'm not talking to you. If there's something wrong where you can't, that's not what I'm talking about. But everyone, we always need help in the kids area. The kids area is growing, which is an amazing thing. You got more kids coming. You got it. I asked Ben at the 9 o'clock. We could use a couple more guys on the parking lot. We could always use a couple more people in the media. And there's always different areas to serve. So don't come to church and get. But never give a little bit. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Yeah. And I don't say that in a mean way, but I'm saying if Jesus did it, why are we not doing it? Let me give you the take-home statement for this one. The smaller our ego becomes, the greater our joy becomes. All right? The smaller our ego becomes, the greater our joy becomes. I didn't have time. Well, I had time. I didn't talk to you about it, but in Philippians 2 and 7, when I read it earlier, it said he made himself of no reputation. He made himself, you know, that's one of the things when Lady LeConte and I, when we came to the city, we made sure we didn't make ourselves of any reputation. The way we live our lives, we don't make ourselves of any reputation. Anybody who's around us will tell you, and especially those that are close to us, and the only reason I say close to us is because they spend time with us when we're not here, will tell you they're the same people. You got it? They don't walk around acting like they're. Matter of fact, they love people. They're givers. If you see me doing anything, you always see me giving. Why? Because that is what God has called me to do. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand, you know, the importance of it. And so, all right, I'm on my last and final point. Everybody say number three. Okay, Court, let's go home. Humility precedes honor. Let's say it together. Say humility precedes honor. Philippians 2 and 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is what? Above every name. Because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. And so the kingdom principle is clear. Humility precedes honor. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. My take-home statement for this is that the pathway up in God's kingdom always goes down first. So the way to go up is go down. It's not climb the ladder of success and knock everybody off the ladder so I can get to the top. I don't have to be in competition with everybody. Why? Because if that spot is for me, then God already secured it for me. I don't got to do you wrong and you wrong and you wrong. If that's my spot, then watch this. God will do whatever he's got. Open doors, make ways, shift them things around to make sure that belongs to me. It's my job to operate in humility. It's my job to love. It's my job to give. It's my job to serve. And if we do that, watch this, we can leave the rest to Jesus and he'll take care of everything. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for our time together around your word. And I bind the hand of the enemy that would try to steal the seed of the word of God that was sown into the life of the believers on today. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we learn to have joy no matter what on last week and today that we learn to have joy beyond ourselves. that if we're in this room and we're a part of this ministry and we're not on the dream team, we're getting an application today. No more excuses that we're going to serve, that we're going to do our part. We're going to pray for the ministry. We're going to sow into the ministry. Father, you have done so much for us. Surely we could do those few things for you. And so I thank you for humility in the hearts of every believer. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the room. Are you glad you came to church at 11 o'clock?